I'm Kristen Press.
And I'm Tobin Heath.
We're World Cup winners, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Every week, we sit down with the icons, disruptors, and game changers on the field and beyond it to talk victories, heartbreaks, and everything in between.
We've built a space where athletes, changemakers, and people creating the future of women's sports can show up and show off as their full, unapologetic selves.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Caleb Williams.
Caleb Williams looking, dancing, hopping. Wow. Caleb Williams making it happen.
Williams, end zone, touchdown. Williams, another nice throw.
And a fastball from Caleb Williams.
How about Caleb hanging in there?
Starting quarterback of the Chicago Bears.
There's no doubt Caleb played a large component into my decision. This offense will be calibrated with him in mind.
Everyone's excited about where Caleb can go.
The main goal and the main objective of being here is to turn around. That's why I was selected number one. You know, that's what we're here to do. That's what they brought me here to do. That's what they brought all these guys here to do.
Caleb Williams with Raheemian Harris on 670 The Score.
The Bears.
Except it hasn't happened yet, but that is the open as we await Caleb Williams. We are getting word from the Bears that he is expected to call in any moment. This is Raheemian Harris on 670 The Score. Normally, you would be hearing Lawrence Holmes and Matt Spiegel at this time, but they have graciously given part of our program to us to hopefully do the interview that we have been expecting to do. Mark Grody is here with me. Marshall Harris is off today.
The pregame show has been going on here, the Caleb Williams pregame show. We've got the national anthem coming up in a little bit. We've got the coaches interview. But I tell you what, why don't we just talk to Caleb Williams?
Why don't we? Let's go out to our Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. He is joining us after joint practice against the Dolphins from Hallis Hall. Caleb Williams, thanks for talking to us.
Yep, absolutely. Thank you.
I think the first question we have for you is, how was practice today? We got various reports. I know you guys were working on specific installations. What was it like facing another team for the first time since the Packers game?
Yeah, it's good to go out there and go versus somebody else, see some other colors, see a different, different type of defense and, a bunch of different players compared to our defense and go out there and get after it.
And we know Ben Johnson said that the starters are not going to play on Sunday. So, therefore, how important was it for you and the offense to get as much work as you could get in today? And how did you try to approach it, knowing that information?
Yeah, no, it was, it was important for us to get out there and have a certain mindset preparing for, a game. And that's what we were trying to accomplish today. And I think being able to understand we're not going to play this weekend and going out there and having a solid practice and working on what we need to work on was important. And so I think being able to do all of that and still working through installs, still working through the small kinks of the offense, I think today was a good representation of that.
Caleb, thanks again for coming on The Score with us. I have to say, none of us really knows exactly how to cover what's going on in this training camp with you, with all of the new stuff, what went down last year, new offense, new playbook, new defense, all of that kind of stuff. I thought it was interesting to hear from your general manager, Ryan Poles, who was on the flagship station. He said about you, Caleb, and I want to get your opinion on this, that the pieces you have cannot be coached. You've got the killer instinct. You've got the ability to get the Bears over the hump. But he also said the fundamental piece, the operation, understanding coverages, that's where we got to get into this new system. And that part he just didn't do as much in college. So he's got to hit that part and continue to grow and develop and pour his time and energy into that with Ben. My question to you, Caleb Williams, is how close do you think it is to clicking? And as your general manager said, things happening, because that's what everybody wants to see.
Yeah, no, I think that's the part, mainly any quarterback coming from college, you don't know all the knowledge that maybe a Tom did at latter part of his career, or Aaron, or Ben Roethlisberger, or even other guys that are still in the league, Geno and Russell and all these different guys. You know, so I think that's, you know, the fundamentals, the learning different defensive systems, learning different offensive systems, and, you know, everything just becoming more fluid. It's something that happens over time, and it's not something that happens just in year one or year two or anything like that. So that's the process we're at now, and, you know, we're working towards it. I'm working towards it, putting in the time, effort with, you know, myself, and then also with the coaches and things like that, just making sure that I can help lead this team. And you know, put us in the best position and, you know, in the game to be able to go out there, score as many points as possible, win as many games as possible.
What is, like, the if there is one thing, Caleb, that you can point to about your own play that you would say, if this just gets better, it will click, things will happen, you'll see the generational talent if this happens? Is there something that you could point to?
No, I think it just comes with more reps and just being comfortable. Second or third offense, or, you know, whatever. And so just getting it down, just feeling comfortable with, you know, all the details, all the information. And once I feel comfortable, everything just kind of starts to flow for me. And I just, you know, get into a flow state of ball, and, we start enjoying it and start going out there and winning some games.
Caleb, I know a lot has been discussed about the differences between last season as far as what the results were and then what Ben Johnson's philosophy is for this season. I'm thinking about, like, the touchdown to interception ratio, which I know you were happy to see at the end of the year, and also EPA. And I've said it's okay, you know, especially in practice, to take risks, but also we've seen now that sometimes interceptions are valued lower as far as what's damaging to a game. So I said, I think it would be great to see you get weird. I know sometimes you're going to have to take those risks, and maybe it turns into an interception. Maybe it turns into later you checking out what the defense is giving you early in a game and then leading to more successful drives later in a game. How are you marrying that concept of knowing it's going to feel bad to make certain mistakes that maybe you thought were worse mistakes to make, relatively speaking, then, compared to how it turns out ultimately now?
Yeah, I think me making mistakes now is where I'm at. You know, throw these interceptions that I'm going to throw in practice, or maybe preseason, or being able to, you know, understand and figure out how to see this defense, and, you know, maybe where I need to get down to, whether it's a check down or whether it's, you know, I actually can't complete this pass. Maybe it's second window or, you know, just figuring out those small things. And that's where we're at right now. That's where I'm at. So that when we get into the games that, you know, it's a calculated risk. Yes. Every throw is, or every moment is, but, it's a well-calculated risk. And, you know, we're taking those risks when it's time. And if it's not there, just take the check down, move on.
We're happy to talk to Caleb Williams here on the continuation of Raheem and Harris on 670 The Score with Mark Grody. And I think that said, I want to ask about how you envision your best self in this offense. Like, I think about your pro day and the vibe there at USC and how fun that was. What does this offense look like for you? Is there something that you want to do where you feel like you're going to be your best self? Like, give us a visualization of the end game and how this looks for you. A pass you throw, or how we know you're feeling good.
I hope to not tell you, or I hope to not show that I'm feeling good. I don't want to be even killed and things like that. Good or bad or indifferent, you know, be even killed, but, us just flowing, us just scoring as many points as possible on how many ever drives we have, is where my happiness and, where I'm flowing, best is at.
Caleb, we know we're not going to go into the whole Netgate thing. I know you addressed that already yesterday, and I love how you literally laugh things off like that. And I don't know if a lot of quarterbacks or players have that same ability in relation to that, because we're all tweeting about you. I'm out there watching. Sometimes we're praising you. Sometimes we're critical of you. What do we get wrong, and are you treated fairly? Is there anything that you see other than that viral video, and you're like, you're scrolling, are you like, what are these guys talking about, or do you think the coverage of you is fair?
Fair isn't my job to judge. But I wouldn't say that there's always truth reports that come out typically, to be honest with you, that come out. We're in practice. We're in training camp. We didn't maybe score as many points or anything like that last year or win as many games. But some of these reports that come out, yes, they are a little false, especially after a year that I had last year. It's all right. It's everybody's job, and everybody has a job to do. And my job is to go win games. Your job may to be, report and critic, good, bad, or indifferent. And, there's no judge for either side.
Life in the big city, right? That's what your general manager always says. It's going to happen in market number three, right, Caleb?
Absolutely.
Caleb, thank you so much for joining us and taking the time. And I hope you enjoy getting to watch and absorb the game on Sunday.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks, Caleb. Appreciate you.
That was Caleb Williams joining us here on the continuation of Raheemi and Harris. Thanks to Spiegel and Holmes giving us a little time here on 670 The Score. They're back now.
Yeah, we were happy to do it. Look, you guys, having to wait for an hour is a long time. And we know how the structure of a show goes. We're like, oh, this is blocked for this. And then you have to bring stuff up that was in different places.
I enjoyed the pregame show.
Pregame show was strong.
Was there an anthem? Caleb Williams pregame show?
Did I miss the anthem?
We had to skip the anthem.
Should we have had one?
Yeah. I'm right here.
Hello.
Yeah, we have a sponsor.
Aren't you singing before a sporting event? Can you wrap up an event with an anthem?
Oh, see. No, you don't want to do that. You guys nailed it. But yeah, the pregame show was adorable. And I love some good stuff in there. Grody, I love the question about the coverage. And he said, fair is not mine to judge.
Mm-hmm. That means that he thinks some of it's not fair.
But! There was a but. I'll just say this.
Oh, I think he held back a little bit on that. And
for
I think
sure.
Every single Bears quarterback that has been in this town, that's why I wanted to give him the opportunity. You want to tell me that I'm wrong or that we're crazy with some of our opinions? I wanted to give him that opportunity to sort of voice that. But he did the professional thing and said, hey, that's not my part.
Yeah. But I think he said it before, when he talked about the opinion of the offensive line last year. Mm-hmm. That was him ripping it. We only get a certain amount of time.
Yeah, we only get 10 minutes for that,
folks. So a couple of other questions that I wanted to ask him we didn't get to, but I do want to ask him, what does this look like for you if it's perfect?
I love the visualization question, Layla. And then because it made him pause, he's like,
Is it? But I mentioned that because I think about the deep ball he threw at Pro Day just for kicks at the end, because that was the vibe. And I'm like, I want to see, does it look like that? I've seen you play free and feel free, and not just in your Pro Day.
I think that's why he's so excited about under center, because he now realizes that under center, run, play action will unleash the deep ball possibilities.
We saw it on Sunday, Spiegs. I was right there in the Soldier Field press box. Play action, Cole Kmet just bursts to the seam and
there you go.
Wide open and scores a touchdown. I was like, oh, yeah.
But I have a request of the Bears beat because it's got to happen. We didn't get to it because we didn't have the time. Because sometimes you got a certain amount of time and you don't get to things. It's our job as reporters.
What did you not get to?
The Madden rating.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody's got to ask him about his Madden rating.
75. I didn't see 75, eh?
That's what you do. If you have a player on and you ask, one of you's, when he talks next, you have to ask.
Well, right. Layla was even scratching
your
it down.
On the Madden rating.
That's
right
a pretty grim Madden rating.
Well, I always let a player tell us why it's wrong.
That's what usually what you give a rookie quarterback.
Right.
When they're coming
and
in.
So that's why I'm like, hey there. This isn't cool. But we only had so much time, and I frankly want to hear how he wants this offense to look just as much as his head coach. I think that is absolutely key.
I really enjoyed it, and we know that as a show we were talking about it. One of the things you guys talked about with him is something that we've been discussing. So thank you for asking the question about risk taking.
Because I don't think that he was programmed that way previously.
Yeah, he's clearly, as a quarterback, a little risk-averse. And the touchdown-interception ratio last year, I think, speaks to that. I think both of us are kind of in the boat of take some shots.
I think he will.
Get weird downfield.
I think he's going to trust this scheme to take his shots. And I think last year, it's like there was some understandable lack of trust of scheme to really do what everything was telling him to do. Now he's got a guy who will want him to take his shots, judiciously and on plays where it's one-on-one. If they scheme it to have Luther Burden doing his Jameson Williams thing one-on-one down the sideline because they've just gone play action. Like, he'll take that shot.
And it's not like that Sunday night game against the Texans last year, Jared Goff was just flat-out reckless. But he did take some shots. You have a quarterback throw, what, five interceptions in that game?
Yes.
And he still won.
Yes, that's the point.
You know, so it's okay. And then he bounced back the next week and was, what, four touchdowns? He had more touchdowns than incompletions, I think, in the next game. So it shows that there's opportunity and growth to try some things in this offense and be okay with, yeah, you had a bad day, you get ready, and you're next week you're ready to roll.
The only thing that I want to ask of him, and Grody, if you could ask him next time, has he ever played Papa Shot in football in a bar? Like where they have it set up.
Oh, yeah.
50 points for the top circle.
Oh, yeah.
30 for the second, yeah, yeah, yeah. 20 for the bottom, where they spread them out. Like essentially that net game, but in a bar. How
write
does
that
he
down.
Do?
You know what? I'm going to write that down. Robbie, write that down. Okay.
Robbie, tell Robbie to write that down.
Where's Alex? I'm running as fast as I can.
Alex, tell Ray to tell Robbie to write that down. Ray, you'll be happy to know that Chris Tannehill went to Starbucks today, and he went to the correct one. Went to the correct
yeah,
one.
Yeah, why is he trying to pretend here when he goes to the other Starbucks?
I sent Ray on a wild Starbucks goose chase yesterday.
Why are you dipping into our producer?
Well, in the afternoon.
Whoa.
Oh, he's yours.
Whoa. Yeah, in the afternoon when he's hanging around, sometimes I ask. I fly if he buys.
Okay.
Or the other way around.
All right.
The other way around.
I'm not trying to start anything.
Yeah. It is Ray's show now. Yeah. Ray will now be hosting while Matt Spiegel gets the coffee.
Yeah, I buy if he flies. That's right.
Yesterday, I
ordered for several people on the Starbucks app, and I sent him to a different store than the one I ordered.
Did you go to this one over here and not this one down here?
I think it was that one over there, right?
What?
He was looking over here. So, I sent him over there. Before you know, there's nobody there.
So you know the Lewis Black bit, the end of the world or the end of the universe in Houston, Texas with the Starbucks across from the Starbucks?
No.
Oh, it's a pretty good Lewis Black bit, and it's very old. I've been there. I used to live there.
May I ask you about your producer? Your executive producer?
Yeah, Alex Kuhn.
I was listening to categories yesterday. Is Alex going to be okay?
I don't think so.
We'll see what the committee says.
I thought he was reinstated.
He was.
He had a glorious 11 minutes cycling through the first two categories. Then he got to category three.
That's what we really should have asked Caleb Williams, is how Alex Kuhn did on categories.
Oh, yeah, he would be up for that.
And I hate to bring this up, but I thought about it on the drive home.
Yeah.
I believe that we actually did that category about a month ago.
I'm sure we did at some point. Wow. I remember doing the sequels category.
Sounds like it's null and void to me. Everybody gets a redo.
Rookie of the year is off the table now for Alex Kuhn.
The scoff you just gave me.
There was a problematic premise in the article, in the setup. Like as he was describing the category, he said The Naked Gun is a sequel. It's not a sequel.
No.
It's a reboot.
I wouldn't have been sure about that either. Off the top
with
of my
Frank
head.
Drebin Jr.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's sort of a sequel.
Has anybody seen it yet? Anybody
yes.
will see it?
Chuck Rubin.
Good laughs.
Yeah?
Really.
It gave you what you needed?
Big, big laughs.
The formula was there?
We laughed together an awful lot.
Oh, Ruben loved it.
If a grown man and his 13-year-old son can dine on popcorn and giggle at The Naked Gun together, that's a win.
Is it an
that
R?
Is a win.
Is it an R?
PG-13.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Bummer. Okay.
And there's
bummer?
Well, you'd like them to be able to do whatever the irreverent jokes they want to do.
You're trying to make Ruben watch a rated R movie?
Well, was there any beavers
12.
In this one? I mean, it's the most famous
Thanks.
Line ever.
I just had it stuck.
The Caleb Williams postgame show is a completely different show than the Caleb Williams pregame
show. Well, Mark Grody knows postgame is a completely different animal.
Oh, it's a completely different animal.
You got to get all the live reads in.
Hey, there's time for calls, though, which is great.
The other thing we didn't get to ask him about was PCA. He's a PCA fan.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Caleb, what do you think about PCA's recent run?
Seriously, so he's a PCA fan, and I love that. Io DeSumo and Matas Bezelis were at a Bears practice earlier this year.
You and I are the same. We love that.
The cross-sport pollination, man.
I fall for it. It's just beautiful.
Oh, it just makes me feel good.
Amen.
It goes back to school. Like, you always knew it was a big basketball game when the football players were there.
Well, but these are all guys that actually did grow up loving the Bears. So that, to me, is perfect.
That's true.
The idea that Matas and Io. Yeah, those are two Bears fans from birth.
Can a bull get Bears?
I mean, yes. I think if you go to if you're IO and you grew up in Morgan Park loving the Bears, and then you're a Bull and you go to Bears practice, I think that's ultimate Bears.
Yeah, and his dad listened to the score, right?
Yeah.
IO's father?
IO gets like 20 Bears.
Yeah, this
big
is
a pile of Bears.
I'm going to really have to work on this weekend.
But Groats, I love it. It's something about it. Speaking of the Naked Gun, makes me feel like, you know, the mailman and the dog, like, you know, hugging each other. And
yes.
The Arab and the Israeli hugging each other.
Nice just... beaver.
Thank you.
Thank you. I just had it stuck.
Let me help you with that.
Exactly. As he's, do you know the scene, Layla?
He's walking. There are so many of the jokes that I didn't get because I watched it way too young, and now I'm like, oh my God.
No, she's on a ladder, and she's going to get something off of a bookcase, and he's looking up, and that's when he says it, and then she...
There's a beaver.
Stuffed beaver.
Yeah. Something tells me I missed a lot of the humor watching it too young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all. I always. Back to whenever it. Those movies are on, I watch them because there's so much great writing and reactions from people. So if Airplane is on or Naked Gun is on, I am down for it. Whenever.
Just good joke luck. After
We're
joke.
We're all counting on you.
Yeah.
That was us today, and unfortunately, we only landed part of the plane.
No, you guys landed the plane perfectly. You had the Bears quarterback on. It was great. I got some tips for taking care of my skin from Mark Grody because apparently he is fancy.
Yeah, and Layla's telling me I don't have to be as fancy as I've been. But
you don't.
But, you know, I was told.
The most important part, just like working out, for example, is the consistency.
So wait, let me get this straight.
Yeah.
Skin regimen.
Yeah.
Fresh haircut.
Yeah.
New pair of glasses.
Just need to lose the weight, and I am so back.
I just feel like you're on a parallel track with someone else.
Well, no, I'm not. No, I'm not on a parallel track with somebody else.
Matt Eberflus?
Yes.
Because
Matt Eberflus put the glasses on this week.
Oh, yeah. Flusitron has leveled up yet again. Yeah.
Is he still tight with the haircut?
Oh, yeah. He's got a little bit of growth going on, too.
Okay.
Like,
oh, wow.
He's fashionable.
All right. Is that really the path that I want to continue to go down, though?
Probably not.
I mean,
do you have any pet
peeves? He's a good-looking man.
Coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys is a good job.
He's currently in the Terry Bevington category.
And
in
he is
town.
Still getting paid by the Bears. Yeah. So.
You got any beehives on the property?
Oh, you know, I'm all about the fresh honey, man.
Hey,
so.
Stinger! Come here, Stinger!
meaning what?
Exactly.
Where does David the Cat bee. Fit in with a beehive, exactly?
Speaks of the queen bee.
Well, we thank you guys for the Caleb interview and the awesome show today.
Thank you.
You guys rock. Here's what we have planned for you for the rest of the show. We are going to react because our teammates did a great job of talking with Caleb Williams. There's a particular part that we are going to react to, and maybe later in the show we'll share the entire thing with the Midday Show and Caleb Williams. We also have got some people who are going to jump on with us. For example, we are going to talk with Adam Hoge of the Hoge and Johns podcast. That's at 3:00.
Hoger.
Benji Molina is going to join us from St. Louis. He's become a friend of the show. I read his book. I have a lot of questions. So we are going to talk with Benji as his brother is going to be in the dugout this weekend in full uniform. And if I were Ollie Marmol, I would not allow that optic to happen.
That's what Grody said.
But it's weird. And then Emma is going to have our full Bears report. It was a weird day up at Hallis today with Mike McDaniel in the house. We're going to do all of that stuff and get back to talking about Caleb after Tanny's Open, which is next here on The Score.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
This hour is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
Birdie leads at second. Suzuki at first. And the 2-2 from Aiken. Swing and a miss. Strike three and the ball game is over. Pete swinging and missing. Tough loss for the Cubs.
Yeah, I remember that. I saw that. This is Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score. That was Pat Hughes. Ron Coomer on the call. That was Pete Crow Armstrong striking out to end the game Saturday against the Orioles that they lost 4-3. That was a tough one. And then it got worse from there, as we saw. So the Cubs take on the Cardinals. That is a three-game series that is nationally televised. And, of course, you can hear it right here on 670 The Score. And it's, again, where we try to figure out who this Cubs team is following the trade deadline and moving forward, while the Brewers just remain an absolute unit, wagon, whatever you want to call it, they're breathing down everybody's necks at a breakneck speed.
Yeah, they've been nonstop. Cubs had to go maximum effort to get 2 out of 3 from Baltimore. Then they lose 2 out of 3 to Cincinnati. So I love how you put it. Who is this team right now? I still think I know who this Cubs team is. I do think this team is more like the team that won that final game of the series against the Reds, hitting 3 homers and winning the game 6-1. I think that has been what the season has been more than not. So I do think that they will revert to something like that. The good news for the Cubs tonight that they get to start it with a bang, because Matthew Boyd is the man on the mound for the Cubs tonight. And I'm just looking like through where he ranks with some of the numbers that he's had this year. Boyd, 11-4. If you're still into wins, he is fourth in that category. He is 2.34 ERA. That is fifth in the bigs. His whip of 103 is ninth best in the league, and he will go up against one Michael McGreevy.
Who?
Michael McGreevy.
Does he hang out in the not real baseball player department with Zach McKinstry?
I think he hangs out with Chris Ronji. That's where he is.
Michael McGreevy hangs out with Chris Ronji?
Maybe.
I always knew Chris Ronji loved the Cardinals.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But that's a cool name. I like the Michael McGreevy name. It's so Cardinal because, like, who is this guy? Who is Michael McGreevy?
That was Zach McKinstry for me.
That was Zach McKinstry.
I was like, are you real?
Yeah. And there's been so many Cardinals over the years who have not felt real. But I did some digging on Mr. McGreevy. Turns out he's real.
What?
Yeah.
No.
Here's the... I'll play the hits. 25-year-old righty was the 18th overall pick in 2021. After not getting drafted out of high school, he went to UC Santa Barbara and then became a first-round pick. That's how you do it.
The Gauchos. Or are they the Banana Slugs? One of them is the Gauchos and one of them is the Banana Slugs.
This UC Santa Barbara?
Yeah. I used to know their mascot off the top of my head.
Oh, that's awesome.
Cal State Fullerton, where Justin
UC
Turner
Santa Barbara
went.
Is the Gaucho.
Hey, look at that.
What is a Gaucho? Anybody?
Well, they're
a
pair of pants that are black and cropped, but they're wide leg.
Okay.
I don't think they're named after the pants.
So, Gauchos are pants?
No.
Oh, it's Gauchos.
A gaucho is a cowboy of the South American Pampas?
Pampas.
Gaucha. Didn't Dan McNeil have gaucha? Or that was gout. Yeah.
That's gout.
Gout.
None of this makes me think this guy is real.
Well, okay. So he had 3 starts last year, 1 relief appearance at a 196 ERA. He has had back-to-back bad starts against San Diego. That's the bottom line for you Cubs fans, for you guys maybe wanting to put a few shekels on the game tonight. Last 2 games, he gave up 4 runs on August 2nd, 7 hits, and then against San Diego on 7/27, he allowed 7 runs. So hopefully, I want the Cubs to be familiar with him, because sometimes you don't know who these Cardinals guys are. Now I've told you about Michael McGreevy. Don't be surprised about anything with Mike McGreevy.
He plays with PJ Higgins and Zach McKinstry at TGI Fridays and the imaginary baseball team. No, he's real.
McCready of Pearl Jam.
I do also want to point out, though, that one of the most frustrating parts about Saturday's loss against the Royals, or the Orioles rather, was that was a wasted Matt Boyd start. He had a tremendous performance in that game. He went 7 innings. He gave up only 4 hits, no runs, 8 strikeouts to no walks. I mean, that was just an outstanding outing from him.
And a recovery outing, Layla, because he had the dud against Milwaukee. So you're just like, okay, just make sure that was a one-time thing. Okay, cool. We're good.
And this is a Cubs team that badly needs run support for guys like Boyd. And I didn't think I would be saying that on August 8th at this point in time. But we're still seeing some of the habits that have reared their ugly heads, especially since that trade deadline. And you're right. Is it going to be the team like we saw beat the Reds in dominating fashion, 6-1? I think another question is, the last time that the Cubs played the Cardinals, Mark, there was like 7 people in the stands in St. Louis.
Yeah.
And people were like, oh, you know, that part of the ballpark is just hot. It's St. Louis. It's been hot. They show up even in the heat. I know, because I've been at games in St. Louis at Cardinals Stadium when they've had teams there that weren't good. So I wonder what the fans are going to do this time around.
Well, that's what made me start to think, is the Brewers rivalry taking over the Cubs Cardinals?
I don't think it has been for years.
I think it's sort of like Packers Vikings, because the Bears were so irrelevant as far as winning for so long that became the actual better games. But the bloodlines of Cubs Cardinals will never go away. The last time the bloodline? Cubs played at the bloodline.
Also, there's Bears a lot line. Of textures Bajent? Saying that the last call about Bajent was the bloodline guy.
Oh, man, maybe that's why that was in my head. The Cubs split the four-game series at Busch in June, but let me take you guys back to a very happy time. That was July 4th weekend when the Cubs took 2 of 3 from the Cardinals. The Cubs in that series, they outscored St. Louis 28-11. In one of those was the famous Michael Busch three-run home run game. So there is evidence to suggest the Cubs can get back on track with the bats against St. Louis pitching, which is not as good as it once was because they lost a couple of guys like Ryan Helsley at the trade deadline. Steven Matz, you don't have to worry about him anymore. He's not walking through that bullpen door for the Cardinals.
Yeah, that was one of those defining series for the Cardinals where it told them, you're not going to be buyers at the deadline. And there was a time where we were trying to figure out what they were going to do regarding where they thought they were relative to the other teams. And then Milwaukee quietly was going on a buzzsaw of a tear over 2 months. I say all of that to also point out that this could also be a defining series for the Cubs in this way. Like, are you going to be another team where we're talking about you salvaging the series? Are we going to be talking about a team where you again didn't give Boyd run support? I don't think that's the case today. But until we see some clear hitting out of guys who aren't Michael Busch, you know, the ones, and credit to him and credit to also what we've seen out of the other guys like Matt Shaw, for example, what we've seen out of the improvement out of other players on this team. The two for me are PCA and Kyle Tucker. So Ron Coomer was on this morning with David Haugh talking about what he's seen out of Pete Crow Armstrong.
I would say from the outside, somewhat of an outsider's perspective, from watching every day, that Pete is trying to hit a 5-run homer almost every time he's up to the plate. You know, and you can now the last ball game he didn't get the hits, but he hit the ball the other way. He flew out twice to left field. And I'm trying to think what he did. He might have punched out in his third at bat. But he still, the approach was back towards left center field. And I'm like, oh, there we go. You know, I think for a young player like Pete, who's an emotional player to begin with, and the team is struggling and everybody's looking for him to be one of the catalysts because he had such a good first half, I really think he gets over aggressive and the league caught up with him a little bit. And they said, you know what? We're not going to throw this young guy strikes. And if he's going to keep swinging, we're going to keep throwing pitches out of the zone. And that's what they did for a while, and they're still doing it. But at least the last couple of days, he's taking more pitches, you know. And I just, you know, there are times where you can see young players walking to home plate, and you just want to tell them, breathe. Just breathe. Slow things down. I played with a guy in New York named Derek Jeter. I never met a guy that could lower his blood pressure and his heart rate better than Derek. And it was just amazing. The bigger the situation, the more he was like sitting having his cup of coffee. You know, he was like, oh, you know, come to the mound and the place is going up for grabs. And he's just like, do, 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 do. I think for Pete, those are skills that either you have as a young person that, you know, God's given you, or there's something that can be taught and learned. But I think for right now, I think those are things that he can, you know, slow things down, breathe, get control. There's something to be said about some of the sports psychologists in the world that have helped a lot of players, me included, on how to deal with not failure, but just the pressure of the inner workings of the game and how to control that. And I think for right now, Pete is sometimes getting a little overamped and he's up there swinging away.
That was Ron Coomer. This segment on Raheemy and Harris with Mark Grody on The Score is brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today. That also speaks to a segment we're going to do at 12:45 discussing one Andrew Vaughn. But when I consider that Pete Crow Armstrong, when he's hitting home runs, will hit them anywhere in the zone, including many that are out of the zone. and that there has been an adjustment that the league has made to him, I feel like all of that is incredibly valid when it comes to what we have seen recently. The league will catch up to you as a hitter. They will know what you like, and they will try to make sure that you're not getting any of that. And I think that's what we're seeing.
I think the Cubs, from the beginning of the season or when PCA started to get hot, when there was the revelation that, oh, he's hitting the baseball and he's hitting the ball out of the park, the Cubs' philosophy was, we're going to let him be him until it's not working anymore. Because there's all sorts of easy pickings when it comes to PCA in terms of, and I am air quoting, flaws when it comes to the game. As Ron Coomer said, you can't swing to try to hit a 5-run home run in every at-bat. That's what he's been doing. And he's had amazing success being that guy, trying to hit home runs. That's what PCA has been doing this year. But it's all of a sudden, it's not working being him. So now you have to gently say, as Coomer was, here's an adjustment. Then the emotional part of his game comes in. Coomer mentioned that he's emotional. You have to breathe. These are all things that we've been sort of collecting and saying, we don't really have to make a big deal out of those things. But when the slump starts, then we have to adjust. And what you just said, Layla, that other teams, we knew this was going to happen. Of course, other teams are taking this man seriously. This is an MVP candidate. Word has gotten around, and it's time for PCA now and the Cubs hitting staff to adjust and get him back together.
The last day that Pecor Armstrong hit a home run was the 23rd of July against the Royals in an 8-4 loss.
Okay. Well, that's still not that. I mean, it hasn't gotten crazy yet, but
it's a little farther away for our guy, Kyle Tucker. That was the 19th of July, the only home run he hit in that month, in a 6-0 win over the Boston Red Sox. Well, Coom also talked about what he's seen out of Kyle Tucker as well.
No, I would say it'll come back. I would guess that his finger is okay now. But this is a guess. I'm just guessing that his finger's okay, but he did get himself into some bad habits. I think he did, some things that, and we all go through. This isn't like, because Kyle's a great player, it's surprising that he goes through this. It's just great players, usually, this period of time is short. But when you're dealing with an injury and, you're doing some other things, it happens. So I expect him to get hot again this season and have another one of them roles where he carries the ball club, and then what he does, he affects the rest of the group because he's on base all the time and they quit pitching to him. So I expect the offense and everybody to kind of catch fire again and really put the pressure on Milwaukee for sure.
Maybe the finger's okay, but Kyle Tucker wasn't talking like that, though, the other day.
No, he was just like, well, I got to just deal with it.
Exactly.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
But I also wonder if you just dealt with it too much.
So this is big then, because he's gotten the 2 days off. I think some people are like, why don't they just put him on the injured list? Let him reset the guy. That's what they did. They're trying the 2-day break with Kyle Tucker. But if he's still not Kyle Tucker over the next 3 games and his fingers, there's still discomfort, do you reset him? Can you afford to put him on the 10-day DL at this point in the season and bring up a certain rookie?
Oh,
see
when, Kate?
I'm just saying.
See, I do want to also point this out. He played in the All-Star game. And a lot of guys like Matt Boyd sat it out because they wanted to make sure that they were healthy for this specific time of the year, September, October.
October. Rocktober.
Hopefully. Not Rocked. I don't think Rocktober's happening this year, Mark.
Why?
I just don't think they've got it in the cards for them that they're going to make the playoffs.
Oh.
Maybe I'm wrong. Okay.
Oh, I thought you meant the actual Rocktober. Like somehow rock and roll was not going to be here.
I meant Rocky's October, a.k.a. Rocktober.
I thought she canceled rock and roll.
the day Layla canceled rock and roll.
That is never going to happen in this house.
No, not in this house.
No.
Hey, we're sponsoring a rock festival on this here station.
That's
Riot
right.
Fest.
Yeah,
we're
partnering with Riot Fest. It's the exact opposite, actually.
Yeah.
Ripping your pillow tail.
That's going to be one of the acts.
Is there Metallica's that? No.
No, Grody and Dustin.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be great.
Where is Rhodes? We got to work on that.
You ain't my bitch.
Okay. The ha part is the best. Okay.
The band will That's be enough. Called.
He's had enough of your act.
No, ha's amused.
Poor
he's
David.
Amused.
And you could tell that he was trying. It's like corralling a teenager. Grody was just bouncing off the walls.
You talk about the Metallica
yes,
singing
Grotalica.
Right there. Oh, no, I think Ha's in on it, though. Ha's a serious guy.
Why?
But he likes the silliness. He likes the goofiness.
Ha's a newsman, but he's a newsman with a sense of humor.
Absolutely.
It's kind of like, I'm really excited, actually, about the recent White Sox, like, resurrection of fandom publicly that we're hearing from Brad Biggs on the air. It makes me really happy.
When you hear Biggs talking baseball,
yes,
that makes you happy. Yeah,
Brad Biggs talks baseball with you.
You'd rather hear him talk about Colson Montgomery than Colston Loveland.
I want to hear all of it. Yeah. I need Brad Biggs' thoughts on all of the things.
The Sox are emerging as a wagon.
Brad Biggs talks White Sox with you.
By the way, the Sox on pace now to only lose 101 games.
Can we just look at that?
Yeah, Grody's distracted because on WGN they have a cat up for adoption
oh,
right now.
Oh my goodness, it's just a baby.
How's Dave?
Dave is doing great.
Is he curled up in a box somewhere?
It's the summer of Dave.
Every no, season Dave, is the season of Dave.
The update on Dave is he loves these hot temperatures.
He does?
He really does. He likes to bask. I've got the sliding glass door in my place, and he loves to just bask near the sun. When the sunshine hits that spot, that's where he goes.
Does he go outside?
No, this is not an outdoor cat. I live in a high rise. I don't think that I would want to let my cat loose in the South Loop.
Some cats go on balconies.
Oh, no. I don't I don't even let my cat near the door because I just don't want to take the chance on him and running up the screen because cats will do stuff like that.
They will.
I want Dave alive.
He's so fluffy.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports and all things culture. From two U.S. Women's National Team World Cup champions and Olympians, follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Just because we sign him doesn't mean we're going to have him. He was hurt six games last year. Seriously. We've signed, I remember signing a player for the highest paid at the position in the league, and he got knocked out two-thirds of the year, Dak Prescott. So there's a lot of things you can think about when you, just as the player does, when you're thinking about committing and guaranteeing money.
Jerry Jones, owner of the Dallas Cowboys.
Yes, sir. Talking about Micah Parsons, who seems to be a person of interest for just about every team in the National Football League, and still including the Dallas Cowboys, as we welcome you back into the Raheemy and Harris Show. Mark Grody and Rami Makhlouf are sitting in if you want to text us. We see your text. 312-644-6767. I'll try to read some of those, and we appreciate the interaction that goes on here. A couple of things here to get you up to date on before we dive into some more Bears. If you have not heard as of yet, the Bears do have a couple of concerns as far as injuries are concerned. Darnell Wright left practice early today, according to Brad Biggs, coming up awkward in the final period. Nothing more specific beyond that. Kyler Gordon headed to the locker room as well to start the last period of the practice, which I think still might be going on right now. He has yet to return. Something to monitor per Scott Baier of the Marquee Sports Network. So we're tracking those things, and we will definitely get an update from Chris Emma
Bears
in just a little bit. But we brought up the name Micah Parsons and how good that might look with the Chicago Bears. We all know the effect that a guy like that can have instantly on your team, because we all went through it in the year 2018 with a guy by the name of Khalil Mack, mm-hmm. who was highly impactful with the Chicago Bears, especially in that year where the Bears' defense was elite. He was a difference maker. He took them from a very good defense to an elite defense that year. And that Bears obviously need somebody to go after the passer. It would require a little bit of a systematic change because he's a 3-4 guy. Bears obviously a 4-3, but they're being very creative in the Athletic here, Rami. Proposing possible trades for Micah Parsons. And the one that they put up for the Chicago Bears reads the following. The Bears trade 2026 first round pick 2027 first round pick, 2027 third round pick, 2027 sixth round pick to the Cowboys for Micah Parsons, a 2027 fourth round pick, and a 2027 seventh round pick. Rami, what say you about that?
Well, first, I want to head off two reactions we're going to get to this question and this topic right off the top.
Preemptive cutdowns.
One is people who are going to say, oh, word, this isn't going to happen. Why are you even talking about this? And I bet you're a lot of fun at parties if you're the person out there saying that. The other reaction we're going to get is, they already did this with Khalil Mack, and how did that work out? And I would say to those people, just because it didn't work doesn't mean it couldn't work.
I would argue that it worked. I get it that there was a little bit of a slide and maybe towards the end disappointing, but even for that 1 year, the way the NFL works and how temporary players are,
but
I hear where you're coming from.
Right. And people will point at his contract and what that did to the salary cap and in subsequent years, but it could have worked with Khalil Mack, and just because it didn't work that time doesn't mean it can't work this time. I'm all in on that. I'm all in on that trade and giving that haul of draft picks to go and get a Micah Parsons, because for me, it's time to win games, Grody. It's time to win football games and be a real contender and be relevant in the NFL for the first time in, I don't know, a decade. How many draft picks does Ryan Poles need before the Bears are a contender? You know what I mean? You go up and down this depth chart, and how many first and second round picks, even third round picks, are there on this depth chart already that give you what should be cheap, high-level talent?
Not enough.
Before you make an all-in, pushing your chips to the middle of the table type of move like this would be. To me, Micah Parsons, if this deal was on the table, no-brainer. I'm doing it in a heartbeat, and I don't look back for 1 second. That guy changes the whole landscape of your team. And I was saying earlier, this should be a top five, top 10 defense to take some of the pressure off of Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson in his first year as a head coach and first year installing this offense. We're talking top three defense if you go and get a Micah Parsons. Mm. Put him opposite of Montez Sweat, plus all the other talent that you have peppered throughout the depth chart on that side of the football. And if you're a top three defense and Ben Johnson's offense is and Caleb Williams, the generational talent, if either of those guys are anywhere near the hype and the billing that they came with, Grody, we're talking deep playoff run, maybe even Super Bowl contender.
Absolutely.
That's how much of Micah Parsons changes this team and changes this roster. And in year four of Ryan Poles' tenure as general manager, that's where this team should be. We're already past the point of how long it takes rebuilds in the NFL to get to the point that you're shooting for, to reach your goals and be a winning football team, be a team that's in the discussion for the playoffs, for deep playoff runs, for Super Bowls. We're there already, and Micah Parsons accelerates you to that point single-handedly.
We saw back to the 2018 effect, that was a mediocre Bears offense, right?
Yeah.
And an elite defense. You got to the damn you won 12 games with a mediocre offense and an elite defense, and should have, Cody Parkey, won a playoff game against the Philadelphia Eagles that year. So it is a real effect. I believe the Bears are a year away from rolling those big dice and taking those big chances on guys. And keep in mind, it was Ryan Pace who was the guy that made the Khalil Mack deal. So we are, and look, the Sweat deal that was made here by Ryan Poles, that was pretty good. I know, like, Sweat had a bad year last year, giving up the second round pick, making up for the Chase Claypool second round pick trade. So it's not like he doesn't have a big guy on his resume and that he won't do these things. I think it's probably still going to take another year. And by the way, I see people jumping in here. You want to call 312-644-6767 and play along with us here, because obviously this gets people talking. Micah Parsons. Guess who else was talking? You heard Jerry Jones, the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, coming out into this segment talking. Here's more. We're going to hear from Jerry Jones and Montez Sweat, but Jones on if he's considering trading Micah Parsons.
Jerry, are you considering trading Micah?
Wait a minute, I can't hear anything. I really can't.
Really?
Really can't.
I'm embarrassed.
I'll do it again. Jerry, are you considering trading Micah Parsons?
Well, let's put it like this. Surely you guys have been around this tough and know to recognize negotiation talk, that type of thing, and that's where I put that.
So are you considering it?
I'm not. At this, the facts are that that's like anything else. I think the world of Micah, that's just part of negotiation.
Would you ever consider trading Micah?
Again, I don't really place that with any real seriousness. Micah's got a bad back. That's like being traded.
Hey, wait a minute. He's trying to lessen the value of his guy all of a sudden?
And that was Micah Parsons has cited that as part of the reason that he's kind of frustrated and wants out of Dallas. That they keep on talking about this injury that he suffered playing for your team, laying it all out on the line for your team, and he doesn't want to be penalized for that, and he doesn't want that to be a talking point in the media, and he feels like there's a little bit of a smear campaign when it goes to him and Jerry Jones and the way that this thing is being discussed. And why is Jerry Jones so out of breath? Was he in drills? Like get Mike
organized.
Vrabel?
Get yourself organized, Jerry.
What is going on?
He probably walked over for that interview. You hear the gnat sound in the background of a practice going on. He probably walked his old butt over there and was out of breath. That was, that had to be the number one question he was asked when he walked over to the set, right?
Yeah.
He's trying to catch his breath.
He couldn't hear so good.
Yeah. He's got a bad back. A bad back. Did I tell you about his bad back?
Like, he's pouring salt on the wound for what Micah Parsons is talking about.
You never know what might happen if he slips. He slips downstairs with his bad back.
Tell you what, buyer beware. You want this guy?
Hooray! You never know what you're going to get with a bad back now.
He's also 82. Why the hell does he have this much power in what they do? He's 82 years old. This guy is way too much.
Yeah, yeah, he's a lot. It's something about people in power in this country right now being 82
if
years
I'm
old.
If I'm 82, nobody ever sees me. I'm up on an island somewhere, not working.
The word of the day is old. I'm just glad we now have Ray's Jerry Jones to play with for the rest
of
eternity.
Jerry Jones. It's the only way I could do it.
Oh, no,
it's just hot out here. I'm just trying to catch my breath. No, he's got a bad back.
Out of breath, Jerry Jones has been debuted here on the Raheem and Harris Show on The Score.
Only place you'll get that. It's the only place you're going to get that.
Mark Crody and Robbie Maklouf in. Gentlemen, bring me Steve and Palatine. He insists on being on The Score. Hi, Steve. You're on The Score. Thanks for being on The Score.
Mark Grody, thanks for taking my call. Appreciate
you. Got you.
I just wanted to weigh in really quick with respect to the comparing Mac and Parsons.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, if memory serves, we lost Vic Fangio either the following year or the year after with Khalil Mack, right? So we had a completely different defensive coordinator to operate with him at that time. Combine that with the Matt Nagy kind of exposure, being exposed on the offensive side. I don't know if that was necessarily the Mack trade per se, but then when the offensive side particularly started crumbling, you now losing those draft picks looks like it's even more exposed, right? Huh. But that's a completely different situation, I feel like, with Parsons. My question for you guys would be, with respect to the Micah Parsons potential trade only being draft picks, didn't they spent a lot of their cap money already? Do they even have the cap money to restructure a deal for Micah Parsons if you're only trading draft picks?
That's a great question. I'm pretty sure they have a decent amount of cap space to do something like that, but I'd have to check the exact numbers. But that's an absolutely fair question, because if you got Micah Parsons, then that obviously you are extending this man and paying this man.
If you got to send a Montez Sweat or a Deo Odangbo in the deal the other way to make the money make sense, I'm good with that too.
I always love the idea of throwing in less. Hey, we'll give you our Deo Odangbo. We'll throw that in there
with the first round pick. Like, whatever, man.
Right. We'll give we'll throw in Kevin Byard. We'll throw that right in there for
whatever.
You.
Whatever. Yeah.
Absolutely. 312-644-6767. Jeff is in Kalamazoo. What up, Jeff? You're on The Score.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. First and foremost, you missed out on a perfect nickname for Rami, based on his occupation. I think Rom-Com is a good nickname.
That's not a bad one. I've never gotten that one before. That's a good one. By the way, on YouTube, just search Rami Comedy. You can see some of my stuff.
Nice.
Oh, there you go.
Thank you.
Hey, and now to push back on your Rom-Com, you're going pretty far with, if we get Micah, how far this team can go. You're throwing a lot of things out there. I almost heard Super Bowl, and then I'm looking at what Dallas has, and they have Prescott, they have CeeDee Lamb, they have Micah Parsons. How many playoff games have they won with those players? And he's great. Don't get me wrong. He's great. I'd take him. I'd love to have him. I don't think he's going to, by giving up a whole ton, he's going to be a game changer where we're going that far, unless everything hits. Now, if everything hits, you know, we're good. But I would love to have him. I don't know if I would give up as much as they were saying, at least not as a no-brainer. I'd have to really think that one out. But, I was just looking at it, that Dallas hasn't gone that far, hasn't made the playoffs, and hasn't won with these talented players they have. So, I don't know.
Jeff, thanks for the call, man. We appreciate the comment and the nickname. Very good. Rom-Com.
That is really good.
I'm down with it.
My pushback to that would be, well, first of all, is Micah Parsons the reason they haven't won playoff games?
Probably not.
I would say probably not. No,
we can excuse him, I think, from Dallas's ineptitude.
Yeah.
It feels like very much like a system problem, because they always have talent in Dallas. Always.
And on top of that, that's a team that won 9 games last year with Dak Prescott missing most of the year.
Good point.
How many teams lose their starting quarterback?
Win 9 games.
Some people roll their eyes or are surprised when I say this. Dak Prescott is a top 7 quarterback in the NFL. How many teams lose a guy that good and still win 9 games?
That's a great point.
That's a team that could have won more games and, who knows, maybe make a deep playoff run last year if their quarterback is healthy.
Let's bring back some more Montez Sweat on the NFL Network on the strength of the Bears defense.
The strength of this defense, I mean, it starts up front. So it starts with me. It starts with Grady. It starts with Dio. It starts with Javon Dexter. It's going to start up front. But, I mean, we got those linebackers, Tremaine Edmonds, TJ Edwards, and we also got vet in the back, and also Jaquan Brisker and Kevin Byer, all those guys, and don't forget about Jalen Johnson. So we got a lot to bring to the table.
There is a lot. I mean, hey, we were just talking about the Dallas Cowboys and how many talented players are on the Cowboys. The Bears have some of that as well, and they certainly, you know, they need to put it together quickly.
Yeah,
well, he said, don't forget about Jalen Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
When can we expect Mr. Jalen Johnson?
I will say this. Well, as because he has been seen. He was seen at Soldier Field.
Okay.
And I will share this with you as well. I don't think that this is anything out of school. As Dan Weider and I were recording a Take the North episode, which is our podcast about the Chicago Bears.
Catch it on the Odyssey app.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Take the North. I'll be recording right after I get off the air here. So check out the Take the North. If you love the Bears, you should definitely check that out. But as we were recording the other day, remember the day the Bears were having, we've all read now, the Bears had a beach day out at on the lake. They were hanging out.
Oh, that's right.
Right?
Yeah.
In Evanston, they had a beach day. And Dan was at Hallis Hall, out in the atrium there recording. I was here, and he saw the buses come back from the big beach trip, everybody getting off in their flip-flops and their beach balls and everything. And there was Jalen Johnson. So he's there. No conspiracy theory.
Oh, man, I hope Dustin Rhodes in the morning show is not hearing this.
What?
Can you imagine?
Shoot, that he went to the...
He's injured and he went to the beach?
Went to the beach?
Report, Jalen Johnson played spike ball. Report, Jalen Johnson dove for beach volleyball.
Well, pardon me, I didn't even think about the Dustin effect. Well, why? Haw, I just gave you a 5 on it. Not a 5 on it. What, the pick six.
Pick 6.
That's right. They started that whole thing, so we give them credit for their pick 6. But yeah, I think that would be a good question for Dustin. No, I don't even think we need to ask him. I'm sorry I even brought it up now, because Dustin is going to just go off on this whole thing.
Also, I'm team beach. We've discussed that in the show, so I'm happy the Bears then went to the beach instead of the pool. The beach is better than the pool.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We did a whole beach versus pool thing at one point in time.
100% pool.
Do we have one more, Montez? We got one more. Okay. Got to wrap. Got to take a break.
Chris Emma.
Because we got Emma. Okay, yeah, this is better.
Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
All right, so the reason we are playing this music is that we are awaiting a Bears hit from Chris Emba because Bears practice just wrapped up, the all-important joint practice at Hallis Hall. This is Rahimi and Harris with Mark Brody in for Marshall on 670 The Score. So let's do the play in three acts. I feel like the updates on social media I got were as follows. Number one, Caleb Williams is with us in the neighborhood of 1 o'clock. You won't want to miss that. We've got to ask him about this practice because we know he's not playing on Sunday. Now, we heard that the first pass he threw was a pick. I don't necessarily mind it. That's the whole point of trying to get better. That's how I feel. We also heard that there have been some fights, and you would traditionally expect those to be between the Bears and their opponent, which in this case is the Dolphins, but apparently the Dolphins decided to fight the Dolphins. So get in the opponent's head. You know, if that's the way you got to do it, I feel like that was a compelling detail that we saw out of Hallis Hall today.
The coaches, no, that's not what this was about.
Yes. And I say, you know what? If you can make other people do the work for you, then that's fantastic.
How'd you like my coach voice there, by the way?
Yeah, I did.
No.
Are you impersonating a coach in particular?
No. That's just all coaches when they get really rattled. That could be a basket. No.
Jermaine Effetti had a holding call. Why do I feel like this is 2021? But no, in this case, we were talking about Jermaine Effetti, the Dolphin. Man.
Speaking of Juan Castillo, he said that Jermaine Effetti was going to be an All-Pro. Jermaine Effetti, really nice guy. Just never became what a lot of people thought he would become.
Now we have an All-Pro offensive lineman on the Bears.
What?
Oh, that's how do you like that?
The highest rated Madden guy in Joe Tooney, 93.
Joe Tooney.
Joe Tooney.
We also have a couple of updates regarding some injuries. Now, I've gotten some several scattered reports regarding Andrew Billings.
Looks like he's okay.
Okay, because that was the part that I was a little concerned about. If we have an unhealthy Andrew Billings, I might short circuit.
Here's what happened. He gently, according to Brad Biggs, limped off the field after an inside run, left leg, and then just a short while later, Billings back in action, a snap after Tyreek Stevenson tipped a Tua pass to Kevin Byard for an interception. Byard had an interception.
Let's go.
Emma.
Let's go. Chris Emma is here. Chris, what can you tell us about Bears practice today?
Just wrapped up with over 2 hours on fields 3 and 4 here at Hallis Hall. A very strong showing for the defense. The defense balled out today. They were aggressive. They played with energy. They were taking the football away. Up and down for the offense, as you'd imagine. Some good moments for Caleb Williams in sync with targets like Colson Loveland, Olamide Zaccheaus as well. Some misses here and there, some procedural stuff that we've seen throughout camp. But I'd say it was a good day for the Bears overall.
That's good to know because I think some of the reports we got as far as the Bears ones were concerned in this very important joint practice, how the offense wasn't as fruitful as we thought. We got reports of an interception. We got reports of them not making it into the end zone. What can you tell us about how their day was overall?
I mean, there was good and there was bad. It's what we've seen throughout. There was a play early on where Caleb hit Olamide Zaccheaus on a quick little route where the defender was kind of creeping in. It was a great anticipation throw by Williams. Got his wide out open and in a position where he could beat the defenders down the field. Couple big plays for Colson Loveland, including a play over 50 yards. Crowd was into that, as you can imagine. There was the pick. There was a couple moments, some plays that were holding on to the ball too long, sacks, that kind of thing. But there were some positives to take away, and I think they had an okay day. It was better than we've seen in some of these days out here in practice before. A lot to improve, I think, was what you expected offensively.
I love that. So that the play to Colston Loveland, that was from Caleb, Chris, just to verify?
Yes, there's a couple later. He had the last play of practice, which I believe might have been a sack, but it was a Case Keenum to Colson Loveland finish for a touchdown.
God, man.
That was how it ended. Colson had some moments. I talked about it on the show yesterday. He's just impressed me every day out here. He looks so natural, so smooth. And you can be really bullish on this kid.
He looks different. I saw him once full speed, man. And I am not typically prone, I think people know, to hyperbole about young players, but Layla, he just looks different in just the way he moves, the build. Like, you see it all. It's like, you know, the one thing, Chris, that came up yesterday, a couple texters after we talked about him yesterday and Colston Loveland and how good he is, people were asking about his blocking. It's pretty difficult to tell some of that stuff early on with tight ends, but have you noticed anything as far as his blocking is concerned?
Not really. Not yet. We've not seen enough in full pads and full contact. I don't think they didn't bring him in to be a blocker. Like, you got blockers on this group.
Right.
He's going to play a role. He's going to certainly be a blocker at times. But, like, what stands out to me is just the playmaking, the separation ability. He's just so natural and smooth with everything he does. And you saw today against a new opponent and against defenders of a pretty solid defense from Miami. Like, Colston Loveland was noticeable once again. You just notice him every day out here.
Oh, that's a high compliment from you, Chris Emma. Chris Emma is joining us from Bears Practice on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. I know you said it was a good day for defense. How can you expand on what you saw out of the defense and the progress against the Dolphins?
Several big plays. Kevin Byard had a diving pick on one play. Jaquan Brisker took one in as well. Now, the Dolphins were without Tyreek Hill today. Jalen Waddle went down later on in practice. So they didn't have their top group out there throughout practice, but it don't take that away from the defense. The defense was playing with fire. Tremaine Edmonds got one late in a red zone drill where he just kind of jumped around at the goal line and took it back. It was a really strong showing with the takeaways. They were playing with energy. You could hear them throughout encouraging each other on. Like, this is a group that was hungry on Tuesday when they went full contact, full speed against each other. They wanted to prove a point. They really wanted to prove a point today against the team in green out there. They wanted to show those guys up today, and they did that.
Were there any sacks that you were able to decipher? And I know that can be difficult.
On the offense
for the Bears, you're talking about what a great day was for the Bears defense. We know they need to get to the quarterback. Did the Bears have any sacks? I guess I should ask it a little bit better.
Yeah, I mean, they were pressuring. I'll tell you this from my vantage point, it was hard to see. And they were not going full contact today. They were very quick whistles. They were loud whistles trying to keep skirmishes from happening and that kind of thing. So they blew plays dead pretty quickly. The Bears did get home on a few plays. Andrew Billings limped off with an apparent injury. Did not seem serious. He was on the sidelines later on, so I wouldn't be too concerned about that. Grody, no, it's August 8th now, so we still got a month till the season starts. But
I was
corrected on that one yesterday, but it was August 7th. But it seems like he's okay. Darnell Wright, we talked about yesterday, leaving the field. He was back out there today working with the ones. And one other note, jumping in at left tackle was a name I had not seen out there yet. Theo Benedict, the second-year player, the Canadian Eagle who became a Hard Knocks legend last year, he was working with the ones a little bit today. Karan Amagaji's not out there, so I'm curious as to whether Benedict's a part of that mix or not, or they just wanted to get him some reps, but that caught my attention today.
The Canadian Eagle?
Why you got a problem with the Canadians?
I like the nickname.
He is the Eagle. By the way, Chris, everybody here says happy birthday to you, so have a great day, pal.
Happy birthday, Mike.
That was Chris Emma.
What
joining
happened to
us
him?
From Bears camp.
Did we lose him?
He was so offended. No, he just dropped. I don't know.
Happy yeah, something birthday. Happened there because normally he would know to reply to me when I said the Canadian Eagle.
I know. That's why I jumped in.
That was the most haphazard Bears hit. The wind is howling. Like, you could hear it in the
wind's
background.
Whipping around. Emma got blown away. Do you think he got blown away? Maybe the tractors were coming for him like they come for me out at the hall.
Happy birthday, Mike. The amount of
hell that reporters have given Chris Emma at Halas Hall now, for what I count, is 9 years ever since I have gone to Halas.
Oh, you don't think I've taken a lot of hell through the years?
But the way they mess with Emma.
Yeah, man. He's fun to mess with.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports and all things culture. From two U.S. Women's National Team World Cup champions and Olympians, follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.